How's our music program?
Yeah.
Okay, it's our philosophy. Sorry, in this way.
It'll pick up.
It's our philosophy that music is far too restricted in its present form on radio today. It doesn't matter what station you listen to in this market, whether it be Shea or CFRA or CFGO or CGRC or even CBC. You get a very restricted view of the total spectrum of music available. And so it was our philosophy when we came on the air that we should try and expose some of the other musical genres and artists that rarely get to the airwaves, if ever, and try and expose some of the talents and different styles and the diversity which makes Canadian music and music in general so interesting. So we decided to let each individual announcer program their own musical show based on a few general rules. Like within each hour there should be 3 new releases. There should be 20% Canadian content, minimum. More if you can do it. Those are the basic common sense rules that we want. And, you know, the other things have to do with flow. Mixing is probably one of the most important things at Radio Carlton. When you're putting together a set of music, it's not just to hype a certain style or anything like that. It's to create a mood. And so the announcer, when he goes in the studio, he should be trying to put his music together to either get a message across through the lyrics that he's the music that he's chosen, or particular create a mood for somebody sitting at home listening, a bluesy mood, an up-tempo mood, you know, rock and roll, disco, whatever. He should try and create an atmosphere. And it depends on the time of day and who the announcer is, of course. So in long form, that's how we program music around here. It's done by basically 40 different people.
Mm-hmm. 40 different?
40 different announcers, yeah.
How long can you train the announcers for?
And how do you train?
An FM announcer, when he comes into Radio Carlton, we look for a couple of general qualities, interest in music, interest in people, the ability to communicate. I look for just those sort of things. And they can be in really rough form. Anybody can come up here and potentially work for us. At that time, then they're put into our closed circuit studio, which is just speakers around campus. And they have to spend a minimum of 3 months training in there. They're taught how to use the equipment, the mixing board, the cart machines, the turntables, the tape machines, microphones, how to mix, you know, tempo and key, and that sort of thing. So they're given all the basics, and it's up to them, through their own initiative, to prove that they are worthy of going on FM. So they're given the basic tools, and they're also given critiques on a regular basis. And as well, there's weekly meetings where they can discuss their programs, and there are monthly seminar sessions when we get into some of the other technical things, how to create sound and provide a good mix. I think that one of the things that most radio is that we're not, is it's one-dimensional. It's very flat. You know, it's sort of a line that you can follow, whereas Radio Carlton is very up and down, and it's more human in that sense. Like, you can listen to the station, you can tell whether the guy's depressed or he's happy or you know, what sort of state he's in. It's a very human thing. And so, anyway, back to the training. Once he's finished in there, then he goes to an all-night show on FM, and he would serve another apprenticeship there, and then he'd be given a prime-time show after that.
How often?
Right.
How often does an announcer go from the practice studio into the on-air?
Depends when there's a vacancy. We usually have turnovers in staff in a big turnover right now at this time of year. That's right, end of academic term. Don't worry about it. Things fall down all over the place again. And then again in September, because we tend to rely more on the community for programmers in the summer. And then when we get into the, around Christmas time, there's a small turnover, because people discover that they're flunking out of Carlton and they've got to get back to the books, so they drop off at the radio station here. But the turnover occurs when somebody leaves the FM staff and we're looking for somebody new. Now, we've got an even more difficult task than, say, at Shea or CFRA, because they can just simply take somebody and put them in any slot, because they're pretty much programmed by the format. Whereas we have to be very selective. If a rock slot becomes open. We can't put a jazz guy in there because his knowledge is too specialized, and we've had problems with that. We've tried to put jazz guys into rock slots or vice versa, and we run into problems because they don't know what the hell they're doing in there. Question three.
What audience are you aimed at?
Contrary to, once again, to the commercial media, who, because of the necessity of making a profit, they tend to go for a mass audience. Therefore, their music will be selected to offend no one. We, on the other hand, try and target specific audiences. There is a rock and roll audience. There's a jazz audience. There's a blues audience. There's a folk audience. There's a classics audience. And we try and target these and make our, and you know, tailor the programs so that well, we're trying to do a couple of things. A, to target on those audiences that want that type of music, and B, to the people who may be tuning in who don't know about that kind of music or who may not be disposed towards it, to try and give them other elements within the musical flow that would attract them to it. It's the whole thing about you blend the familiar with the unfamiliar. So, for example, if I were to play a Bee Gees cut and then move into some unknown European disco, then you would be attracted to it. You would stay with it, and you would learn something from that, because you hear the Bee Gees, all right, you know, Saturday Night or whatever, and then you go, wow, you know, really great, get into it. And then if there's a good solid mix there, so that, you know, we like to make our mixes transparent so that it flows into the next one. So you're still bopping along thinking it's the Bee Gees, and we're into the next one, so we've got you. And you go, wow, this is really neat. And it, more times than not, it's because it was a good mix, and it brought you with the announcer. So that's just another aspect of the programming.
Do you think your approach to the audience has changed since the funding drive? Like after the funding drive, or during the funding drive, I think that I felt that you sort of realized what a large audience you did have.
Well, I wouldn't say it's large. I'd guess it's somewhere between 30 and 50,000 people on a week. Weekly basis, and Shea is 130,000, and CFRA is somewhere up around 500,000. You know, so I wouldn't say it's large. What I would say about the audience is it's very loyal. Our audience tends to treat us like peers, which is the way we wanted it to be in the first place. Was we didn't want to be looked on as traditional radio, which is that voice on high blasting out his message, whatever, how inane it may be. So we try and keep it on a level whereby we're people and we're trying to share something with you, which we think is really good. So I don't know whether it's changed. I think as the people change, there's a tremendous turnover. Mm-hmm. Like the staff that was here in 1975 when we went on the air, there are maybe out of 160, there are maybe only four or five left. So as the new people come into the station, they provide new ideas and a new approach to it. So Radio Carlton will be forever young, and it will be forever changing its musical style and tastes, and it will be keeping a pace far faster than CFRA or CFGO, because they're playing it safe. They'll pick the hits that they know are going to click, and then they'll play those things, and they'll play the shit out of them. Whereas we're always trying to break new ground. Hey, there's a new trend happening here, you know, like we were the first people to break new wave or punk in this city and even play this stuff. And the same thing with any kind of heavy disco programming. We were the first to try that. I mean, pure disco. I'm not talking about the trash that's that's trying to be passed off for disco right now. So I don't think that we've changed in our approach to the audience. I think that we change with the audience because we're so much a part of it. Our people who program here are as much a part of the audience as anybody else. So we sort of flow with them.
How many announcers do you have?
Approximately 40.
And how many on staff?
There are approximately, about 70 people in the public affairs staff and about another 15 or 20 in the production staff. They go way up and down. Now, of those people in the public affairs staff, some of them only put in 2 hours a week, others put in maybe 20 or 30 hours a week.
They write, those are the writers?
The writers and the talk shows, the spoken word programs.
How many get paid?
How many get paid? There are two full-time people, myself as a station manager and a revenue manager, and then there are four part-time executive people, and then two technical people.
Who owns the station?
The students of Carleton University.
So you get most of your money from?
Yeah, we get about approximately half of our operating budget. Our operating budget is about $100,000 a year. So we get roughly half from the Students Association. We make up a quarter of it in sponsorships, and then the rest comes from some from the university itself, like the School of Journalism pays some money to be on the air, and then the funding drive.
How did the station originally come into being?
Came into being back in the mid to early 60s, back when the Beatles were first starting to crack the pop scene in North America. 64, 65, a group of people got together and formed the Carleton Radio Broadcasting Committee. I think you still got some there. I can blather on for hours. And these people, then, it was just sort of a little office down in the tunnels over by Patterson Hall, and there was a turntable and a small mixing board and a few records and things like that. But in their minds, there was always this dream of being an FM radio station or being on the airwaves, on the public airwaves. So in 1966, 67, these people did a program, a half-hour show on CKOY every week. Now, they caused a lot of problems for CKOY because back then a group of them, you remember when, I don't know whether you would remember this, the bomb went off in the washroom of the Parliament buildings? There was a guy who was planning to blow up the House of Commons, and he got the bomb in and he took it out of his raincoat in the washroom in the House of Commons, and it blew up in his face, which severely criticized the security measures. If he got that far, then if his bomb hadn't gone off in the washroom, then it would have gone off for sure on the floor of the House of Commons. So three guys from Radio Carleton decided they would test it afterwards. This would be about a month after this circumstance had happened. So they put tape recorders inside their coats and inside bags and so on, and walked in. Only one tape recorder was discovered. So they went right in, got into the visitors gallery in the House of Commons, and recorded, which was totally illegal at the time. They recorded Diefenbaker, Lester Pearson, Tommy Douglas, speaking in the House of Commons, and that was totally illegal. But they were trying to prove a point, because a tape recorder like this one is approximately the size of a bomb. So anyway, they took this and they put it on the air in the program on CKOY. Of course, the management at CKOY just freaked out. But at the time, there were editorials right across the country, and that was the first national prominence for Radio Carleton, because these students had proved that the security system in the House of Commons was pathetic. And they proved their point more than very well. So anyway, the situation went from bad to worse over at CKOY, and CKOY dropped the program, so they had to come back here. Then in 1970, we moved into this building, and we had what was called a carrier current operation. Now, carrier current is a small transmitter that they plug into the electricity of a building. If you take an AM radio and plug it in, we were tuned to 670 on the AM band, and you could pick up Radio Carleton through the power system of the building. It's a useless way of transmission, because if somebody turns on a hairdryer two rooms down, it just blots out the signal completely. Anyway, we did that from 1970 until 1975. In 74, we began preparing the FM application, and in 75, we went on the air. So there's your brief history of Radio Carleton.
When did you come into the
No. No, I'm not that old. We got one guy who was here near the beginning. He wasn't one of the original founders, but he's been here as a graduate student for a number of years in physics. I came here in 1972 as a volunteer announcer, and then just worked my way up. I was production manager, director of public affairs, assistant station manager, and then station manager.
It's next year, like, there's going to be a lot of people coming from our school into here, into, if they wanted to get into CKCU, where would they start as like, if they could come in to be writers?
Oh yeah, we're after people with energy, commitment. Like, the whole thing is, if you're going to come here, well, we want you to be able to commit yourselves to this place. That there's no point in coming in and saying, oh, this is really neat, and then 2 weeks later discovering how hard the work is,
yeah,
and then buggering off, because that just destroys the station, and we won't put up with it. Mm-hmm. We'd be blacklisted. But anyway, it's open for anyone. Anyone who has the ideas and the energy to do work. We need writers, researchers, interviewers, hosts and hostesses, the DJs, there's usually a lineup a mile long because everybody wants to be an FM DJ star. Hey, I want to be a star. That's only one small part of the whole operation around here. People who have ideas about or have talents in specialty music areas, such as traditional music or classical music or new wave or whatever, if they have knowledge, then we can use them as researchers for the various specialty music programs. So it's easy. All you do is you come up to the station here, you fill out an application form, and then you're set up for an interview with one of the executive, and then if that goes acceptably, then you're put into training right away.
How many applicants you get?
Last fall, when we held a recruiting meeting early in the fall for all the new people coming to Carleton, there were over 160 people who showed up for that meeting. Now, of those 160 people, only about 40 of them lasted, you know, in the month. The others discovered it's really hard work. It's a good time, you know, like there's lots of fun to be had around here, but it's also really hard work. And people, all they sort of see when they come here is stardom or you know, something to inflate their egos. And as I never tire of saying, Radio Carleton is a charter flight, no private trips, please. You know, that's the whole atmosphere around here, is that we're working together to provide a really good radio station for Ottawa.
A lot of I try to get people to listen to CKCU, and a lot of comment that I get is that they always turn on with when the jazz shows are on, and they say, you know, all the station plays is crap like jazz. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that is a comment. It's really difficult when people are brought up on AM radio. They have a really narrow view of what music and pop music is. And we're an educational radio station, and we're trying to show people, hey, there's more than just rock and roll, and it's good music, and it takes a little while to get into it, and there are more people than just yourselves who might want to hear. We have, I would say, of our total musical programming, over 60% is rock, so it's a matter of being very selective in your listening habits if you don't like the jazz, but about, out of that total, if 60% is rock, about 25% would be jazz, and then the remainder would be made up of things like blues and folk and classics and things like that. But yeah, we do play a lot of jazz because there's a big market for it in the city, and there are a number of people, usually over 25, who are very much into that sort of program. We get some strange requests around here. We attract a lot of loonies to Radio Carleton in terms of listeners and in terms of people who want to work here. And I mean, they're really on the fringe, but they're great because, you know, like they sort of take you away from the humdrum of the middle of the road. And we get all kinds of freaks working around here and listening too, you know. Like, I was on the air one morning talking about death and resurrection. I think it was Good Friday morning, as a matter of fact. And I got this call, and this guy had been sitting there listening to me, and it had triggered a whole chain of thoughts for him. And he just wanted somebody to rap to. You know, here it was 6:30 on a Friday morning, Good Friday morning, and he's up and he wants somebody to rap with. So sure, you know, like I spent a half an hour on the phone with him, and a little twisted in his views, but nonetheless, you know, he had an opportunity to talk to. And that's what I think is important about Radio Carleton, is that we're a station that can be listened to, but you have to listen. It's not like another station, turn it on, put it in the background.
Yeah.
If you're going to turn on Radio Carleton, you have to listen to it. And that's exactly what we want. We don't want pap background crap. It's useless. You might as well put a jukebox in your living room and put a quarter in to hear the songs you want to hear. That's not what radio's as far as I'm concerned. Radio should be informative, intelligent, intellectual by times, educational, and entertaining. And it should combine all those elements, not just entertainment. You know, that's just a waste of the airways. Too much pap already.
You're planning a punk show?
Yeah. No Future Now is what it's going to be called. It's probably going to run Monday nights after British Airways, Monday nights at 10.
Anything else planned new in the future?
Yeah, we got several things. A new traditional music program focusing on mostly East Coast music, but a lot of Ottawa Valley stuff too. The old Stompin' Tom Connors, but that's a bad way to describe it. More like Stan Rogers. Do you know Stan Rogers? A real East Coast maniac. Their music is really good time, foot stomping, knee slapping, yahoo music. And its roots are in Scottish and Irish and English music. So it'll be using the United Kingdom roots and then showing how it was expressed or turned around in Canada. We'll also dwell in the French-Canadian stuff a bit, too. A meditation program called Vision Skies. Just trying to think what else we got. Oh, yeah, we're going to do 2 hours of 60s music. The rock and roll from the 60s.
Who's going to be taking that one?
Probably Jimmy Hercombe. Al Thaw will be helping out a bit with that. There's a couple other guys. I mean, I'll get in on it a couple of times, too. There's not too many people around here anymore who remember the 60s, except for the Beatles. And maybe, I don't know. Should listen to, pull out some old Bee Gees 45s and listen to the 1967 Bee Gees tunes.
Steve Wilson plays their first album.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, there's not much difference. They've got a more polished sound, but really, you know, the same falsetto sound to them is still there. And the same with the Beach Boys, that new hit they've got, Good Timing? Good Timing? Something like that. I don't know either. It sounds like, oh, The Warmth of the Sun, which was done by them in 1964. So, you know, over nearly 20 years, have they progressed? Have they done anything? Has AM radio progressed?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's basically the same as it was when I was listening to it in the early 60s and mid 60s. So I got away from it. Anything else on there?
I was just wondering, how would you get a person out of AM? How are we gonna convert?
An impossible task unless they want to be. And like I said, it's a real difficult task. We try to do it by putting the familiar in and mix it in with the unfamiliar. But unless somebody wants to expand their horizons, unless they want to try something new or experiment with different types of sounds, then they might as well forget about Radio Carlton. It's unfortunate because they're missing a real experience.
Yeah.
But if they want radio as... it's like a heartbeat, AM radio. You know, the old housewife gets up at 7:30 in the morning and she turns on the radio and it sits in the kitchen or the living room or the bedroom upstairs and it's on all day long. Now, she rarely listens to it. She'll sort of catch in on the news maybe or a song that she likes. But it's like a heartbeat. If you turned it off, she'd miss it. But she has no clue about what's going on. And that's a waste of the public airwaves. And that's what they're supposed to be, the public airwaves. You know, really, the only thing that's happening on radio in this city is on the CBC. Now, I shouldn't be too cruel, because Shea has started to do a couple of interesting specials and programs. But really, you know, there's very little to be found. Difference between Shea and CFRA is very tough to discern. In a lot of cases, except that Shea plays three songs in a row and CFRA will only play two without saying anything. And they had to do that to compete with Shea. See, Shea is, if you wanted to do a real comparison, then do it between CFRA and Shea, because they're more in the same ballpark. You're going to do it, actually the transfer, if you look at the transfer of listenership in the surveys, the greatest transfer occurs between Radio Carlton and the CBC. That's where your transfers happen. The greatest transfer on Shea happens between Shea and CFRA. If somebody's going to tune away, they'll go to GO and then up to Shea, or from Shea down to GO and then over to RA. Whereas with Radio Carlton, they'll go to the CBC FM or the CBC AM and back and forth. So the greatest transference happens on those levels. No, those two, Shea has made it very clear that they're going after CFRA's audience. That's where they're going to get their listeners. I think they're doing really well.